In the forest, a white-tailed deer will typically spend hours a day searching for food to meet its dietary needs. But if it lives on the edge of suburbia, it can go into someone's yard and meet those daily requirements within 10 minutes, munching on flowers and ornamental plantings. And that behavior has consequences for the deer, for us, and also in terms of the health of our forests. This week on Field Notes, naturalist Laurie Sanders profiles the work of a researcher who's been studying the issue from a new perspective.
Walking through a small patch of forest at the edge of a housing development in Hamden, Connecticut, Scott Williams spots clear evidence of white-tailed deer.
I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about at least 10, 11, 12 different buck rubs on the tiny little saplings, which are all ewes that were probably dispersed here by birds.
For the last 6 years, Williams has been working in Connecticut on studies related to the overabundance of deer.
There's very little understory vegetation here, which is pretty typical of any Connecticut forest with a dense deer population.
Williams is a researcher at the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station. His first project focused on a new non-lethal procedure for sterilizing male deer as a way of slowing the growth of the state's deer population. Then, a few years ago, a co-worker approached him with an idea for a new study.
5 years ago now, he said, "What do you think about gathering deer poop in the woods and planting it in the greenhouse?" And I said, "Sounds like a fantastic idea," so we went with it.
Fantastic is probably not how most people would have responded. But what appealed to Williams was the project's simplicity and the fact that no one had ever done it before. Conventional wisdom held that deer weren't important seed dispersers. Like cows, they're ruminants. They chew their cud, and they have four-chambered stomachs, so anything they eat gets pretty well chewed and churned before passing back out of their system. To find out if any seeds were still viable, Williams collected piles of deer droppings from a 3,000-acre forest in North Branford, Connecticut. On one side, the property is bordered by dense residential development, and the local deer frequently go back and forth between the houses and the woods. Back at the agricultural station, Williams put the droppings in potting soil in the greenhouse and waited to see what grew.
So from our 566 deer pellet piles, we germinated close to 12,000 seedlings. So these are seeds that are capable of passing through the animal's digestive system. They defecate them out, and they're still viable and germinate.
So that was a surprise. But the big shock?
Of those seedlings, 79% were in fact exotic species to the state of Connecticut.
And Williams says they include several of the most troublesome invasive plants in the region. Two kinds of honeysuckle, multiflora rose, autumn olive, Japanese stiltgrass, all species that readily outcompete native plants for sunlight, water, and nutrients. When he did the math, given how many times a deer defecates each day, the findings were even more distressing.
I chose a low happy medium of 25 defecations per day for these deer. And we germinated about 20 seedlings per pellet group that we planted. So if you have 20 seedlings per defecation, 25 a day, that's about 500 seeds per day per animal, of which 79% of those are exotic species. So you're looking at about 395 exotic seeds per deer per day defecated on the site.
Multiply that times the estimated size of the local herd, and you discover that about 140,000 non-native plant seeds are deposited on that site every day. And those results, Williams says, they're probably not unique to that site or to southern Connecticut. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Rhode Island, parts of New York, eastern Massachusetts, they're all struggling with high densities of deer near suburbia. And since deer travel fairly long distances, they can easily spread the seeds of ornamental plantings and other non-native vegetation deep into the woods and other natural habitats.
What we concluded with some of our results were that deer have a threefold impact on natural ecosystems. First is the direct browse of native and obviously exotic species as well. So they limit the growth of that in seed heads of those species by directly browsing. By doing that, they give the exotics a leg up and give them less competition from native species. And on top of all that, the deer themselves are in fact dispersing even more exotic species throughout the woodlands.
So far, there are no easy ways to significantly reduce the deer herd or remove exotic plants once they're in place. As to the future, Williams is reluctant to predict what our forests will look like and will only say that their composition will be different. In the meantime, he's begun a new study that involves collecting moose, bear, and coyote droppings to see what role these animals might be playing in the dispersal of native and non-native seeds. For Field Notes, I'm Laurie Sanders.
For more on this project, visit the Field Notes webpage at WFCR.org.
Field Notes is made possible through a grant from the Massachusetts Department of Conservation and Recreation's Urban and Community Forestry Program, assisting Massachusetts communities in the wise stewardship of their trees and forest ecosystems.